里属于我。Maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
So yes, Father God, that is who you are. We could be here all night, and we could shout out the names that would describe you, but we could never fully define who you are. But who are you to us? You are to us whatever we have need of. You're all that and much more, and we want to give you honor tonight. Yes, you are the miracle worker. You are the light in the darkness. But you are so much more. And Father, as a people gathered together, so aware that this is the season that in a fresh and in a serious way, you are calling the bride to make herself ready. God, whatever it is we have need of, you have that supply. You have a plenteous supply. Show us how needy we are tonight. Show us how much, how far we are from fulfilling that. But God, I also thank you that you are so eager to welcome us, weak and puny as we are. You welcome us as we are. Our hearts are bent toward you. And God, wherein we need to make some decisions so that we mature more deeply in that which you have for us. Because you have great destiny for every one of us, a destiny we cannot even conceive of. And Father, I pray that tonight you would show us a piece of why many of us are not fulfilling that destiny. Not the whole ball of wax, but God, it's a piece. It's a piece of that puzzle. And as long as we allow the power of active lies to run our lives, we will not rise up to be that which you have called us to be. So, Father, teach us tonight. How can we overcome that? You've given us everything we need for life and godliness. You've given each one of us a huge Holy Ghost toolbox, bigger than the one beside me. You've given us that with which we can do damage to the devil and bring about the destiny that you have within each one of us. So, Father, thank you for speaking to us tonight. Thank you for the praise team. God, we look forward to their returning and leading us into the very throne room tonight with our praises and our worship. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Well, a number of you were not here last week, and I'm not going to repeat what we talked about last week, although I am going to refer to some of it to set the stage for what I feel God has for us tonight. It was a tough time in my life because I was stripped of all that I had allowed to define me. And every day for weeks and maybe months, I don't know what the time period was in my life, but I'd have like demonic voices just aggravating me just throughout the day, but particularly when I was in my devotional time. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're worthless. You're worthless. See, you're worthless. You don't have anything to do, so that proves you're worthless. Just on and on and on. Now, was I mature in the Lord? I thought I was. But I had this huge toolbox, this huge Holy Ghost toolbox, full of all kinds of tools that could be used against the enemy. It was not until one morning that the Holy Spirit, I'm so glad for his help, pitiful as we are, we certainly need it. I was so glad for his help. He said, go across the hall and look up in the dictionary what the word worthless means. Well, worthless, who doesn't know what that means? Amari could tell us what that means. So I went through this long string of words. It seemed like there were 30 or 40 words that Webster chose to use to describe worthless. And it was not until I got at the bottom of that list that I came to the word unfruitful. That triggered a memory of a word spoken to me. We're talking about tools. The prophetic word can be a powerful tool in helping to chart our lives, and I believe we are to take them seriously. So I was recalling that a prophetic word, even though that phrase just got to where I wore it like a badge, like a badge of dishonor. But the Spirit helped me. And I was awakened to a truth that was spoken to me prophetically that changed the chart of my life at that time. I was no young chick. I was probably, let's see, how old was I? I think I was about 70. That's pretty ancient to some of you, but right now it looks young to me. So it's all in our perspective, isn't it? Amen. So I had taken seriously the words of prophets that I honored and believed really spoke God's words, not just what you wanted to hear, but what God wanted you to hear. And in those words, that word unfruitful, untangled, that particular tool in my tool chest. And I felt so strongly about reviewing it last week when I prepared to speak that I went through the folder with my prophetic words and found them. And I'm just going to share a tiny little bit because much of what I'm going to speak about will kind of go back to this. Paul Keith Davis came to our congregation, and so did Bobby Connor. Many of you know them. Here's what Bobby Connor told me and told the congregation. I'll tell you what he's going to do for you. He's going to do a Hosea 2, 12 to 14. I kind of knew that meant wilderness, and I said, oh, God, I've been there for long enough. I don't really want some more of that. He said he's going to lure you out to speak to you heart to heart. He's going to speak to you real good. You've been wanting to hear from him clear. He says, I'm going to speak to you heart to heart. Your best days are ahead, not behind. Do you think I was living in the best days when every day I allowed the enemy to convince me that I was worthless? No, they weren't my best days. They were horrible days. I kept looking for something to do, but nothing, because that was surely going to give me worth, but nothing developed. So he told the congregation, she's going to come out of that wilderness with a word. I'm telling you, I didn't have a piece of a word at that time. So then Paul Keith Davis was there, and I'm just going to share a tiny bit of what he said. I saw, he was addressing me, I saw that you were going to share from an experiential point of view. I knew so much about God. I could have written a few books, but I could write very little about how much I knew him. I knew about him. Yep, I knew a lot about him. But to know him in a deep, intimate way, that was really not a part of my life at that time. He said that you're going to begin to share. You're going to know because he's going to reveal some things to you. And at the end of the service, he came back around and asked to pray for me. Here's the word, and that's why the dictionary came alive that morning. Lord, great fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. I see abundant fruit. I see the Lord coming to gather the fruit from you, brought forth for the harvest. The Lord is looking to you for fruit. Bring it forth, Lord. Bring it forth. Powerful tool in my tool chest that I had been neglecting. But God used that morning, he used when the Holy Spirit reminded me to look up the word. What did I look up? Yes, and got to the word unfruitful. That had very special meaning to me. And so I rose up out of that place, out of the lethargy I had allowed myself to get in, and I had a battle with the devil. I took authority over him, told him where to go, told him what the Word of God said, another powerful tool in my tool chest. So at that moment, God set the stage to switch that whole thing around. He set the stage to where I cleaned up that which was allowing me to be open to the lie. I cleaned it up. I didn't have nearly the tools that I have now, thanks to my experience here on the farm, where we're all taught many, 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 in many different ways, how to live victoriously over the enemy. I didn't have that, but I used the tools that I had, and I turned my face, in using those tools, I turned my face toward life, toward God, toward fruitfulness, toward a lot of other things. So I cleared the way for him to speak with me and to deal with me. You see, as long as that lie was in place, was he going to lead me into a place of encounter? No, because I wasn't open to it. I was worthless. I had convinced myself of that. It doesn't matter what the truth is, as long as we are not receiving it in our hearts, it's not truth for us because we're not acting on it. That was such a powerful lie. And like I said, the power of that active lie was now broken, and I was open to the truth, to his word, to the prophetic, to the Holy Spirit. I was also open to the path that at that point in my life, he was opening up for me as he led me into that wilderness where he spoke endearingly to my heart. His place of encounter for me was in-depth immersion into the Song of Songs. And last week I shared about how that happened. It has changed my life. Unless God had other plans, I don't believe that I would be here tonight if it weren't for my following him into that place of encounter and getting into the Word in the way that I did, because it opened up a whole series of other doors. Much of what we're talking about tonight, maybe in future evenings, however the Lord leads, but it was birthed during that season. I'm so glad for the way the Lord works. I am so thrilled at his patience in dealing with us, and that he keeps giving us opportunities to get out of that place of unfruitfulness. I was having somewhat of a good time in those pity parties. And I've seen a few here on the farm. So somehow I believe I'm not the only chosen one that this has ever happened to. I think I might have some company. And so being, Ashley, would you pass out those slips? You're going to help fill this month. Oh, they already did. Good. Okay. Well, we're gonna put something on those slips in just a minute. But I told you I was going to talk about the Song of Songs, so I think I better go into there for just a little while. This will be snail's pace. You know what? We are going to earn the prize for the people who took the longest to get in the Book of Songs, get through the Song of Songs. Before Jesus comes, well, we might be through the first chapter. I don't know. It's going to take a while. But Solomon wrote it. Rhonda has taught us so much. Oh, my goodness, we are so blessed. We are filled with so much of what Song of Songs is all about. So I'm just going to refer to what it is that applies to what God's given me. And tonight, he's given me a burden, a conviction, a message that as long as we allow the enemy to keep us in that place of lies, we will never be the mature people that God wants us to be. And so I ask God that you would help us to communicate that. But Solomon, bright guy that he was, wrote 1,005 songs. And it's said that the Song of Songs is superior to all those. That puts it in a high place, doesn't it? I think it's so interesting as to how the first time was that the Song of Songs was released. It was when the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful temple that Solomon had built was dedicated. And Solomon sang the Song of Songs at that dedication. That's beautiful, but look what happened to the priests. The anointing of God was so great, the glory of God was so majestic, that when the priests got up at their shot to ministry, they ended up on their face, on the floor before the Lord. That's some powerfully anointed stuff that Solomon sang that day. He sang it, of course, under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way all that could have happened. Through which the incredible holy name of Yeshua was crowned. Therefore, it's got to be the Holy of Holies. Actually, it was Yeshua himself. We know that. Who was and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He himself stepped out of the Holy of Holies to sing this prophetic Song of Songs. Just the best of everything. Isn't that amazing? So let's lay aside our unbelief and take this book as our very own roadmap. I have found it such a perfect roadmap into the loving heart of Jesus. It's a book for the heart. I love stuff for the heart. How about you? I love stuff for the heart. So I must admit I get a little bit triggered at too much left brain stuff. I like the heart. I like things of the heart. And that's what the song starts out with. Listen to it. We said it wasn't a personal human love story last week, and we kind of went out of bounds in describing why. But it's a book from the heart, and the story begins with a cry from the heart. If you got your Bibles, and you do, And any good church meeting, you have to open your Bibles, for goodness sakes. So open your Bibles to the Song of Songs, and we'll look at verse 2. Here's how it kicks off. The first verse simply said that it was the most amazing book of all. One translation says, another said, more wonderful than any other. It's just the best of the best. Then verse 2, oh, it really gets good in verse 2. It really gets good. Song of Solomon 1, we won't even cover all of verse 2 tonight. I told you we might be going a little slow. 1, verse 2, the first part of it. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Yeshua, that sounds kind of mushy. Or kiss me again and again. I like this one best of all. I think it's the passion. Smother me with kisses. Your spirit kiss divine. Oh, there's so much in those very, very few words. We have all had past relationships, and so did the Shulamite maiden. She had a bunch of past relationships. We have a bunch of past relationships that have released in our lives the power to wound and to scar our souls and even our spirits. Every one of us. Only our devoted pursuit of the bridegroom can keep us from the deepest level of change. Our deep relationship with the bridegroom is the only key that's going to really cause that change in our walk toward maturity. I've seen it in you. I've seen many of you take that courageous stand and say, I am more sick and tired of the way I have lived my life according to the lies that the enemy has taught me than I am fearful of what will happen if I surrender. We don't do a lot of things, or we do a lot of things, don't we? Because of fear. There's a little simple song that some traveling minister taught us as he taught on the Song of Solomon. And it's simple, but it has a profound truth, profound truths in it. The words are, the blaze in your gaze. Here's the Shulamite speaking to Yeshua, to the bridegroom. The blaze in your gaze is drawing me unto you. The next line I really like, because a verse or two down the way that we'll get to sometime, draw me away, and let's run together. So she's pursuing him. But the next line of that song says, the blaze in your gaze is drawing me unto you. I'm being chased by the very one that I pursue. She's pursuing him, but he's chasing her. I'm being chased by the very one that I pursue. And much of the song is a love song lifted up to him. But that is so true. We can never out-pursue the bridegroom king. Never, ever, ever. Our own hearts tell us. What do they tell us? A lot of the same things I was being told. I'm unworthy. You're rejected. You're unwanted. You're useless. You're worrisome. You're ugly, you're fat, the list goes on. Is it true? Many times it is, but that's irrelevant. That doesn't make a rip of difference. Because what? His grace is far greater than all of our sin. His grace, the power of the cross, it is so much more powerful than any sign we might hang around our necks, anything we might have glued to our sackcloth and ashes. He's got it taken care of. In fact, this is a verse I really want to leave us with tonight, one of them. Psalms 16:3. Look it up. It comes in many different interpretations. But again, this is one that I really love, the Passion Translation. Now, this is a truth. This is one of our, this is something we can put in our tool chest. We have room for it. We have room for a whole bunch. We can put this in our tool chest, and we can take it to the bank. It's true. As for the saints, is there anybody in here that isn't a saint? Let's see. I'm looking around. I don't see anybody. God, these are all your saints. So this is the message for you. As for the saints who are in the land, are you in the land? Are you ever? You're on our Father's farm. That's the best of land. As for the saints, that's all of us, who are on the Father's farm or some other land, they are my glorious ones, in whom is all my delight. Can you see yourself tonight as one of his glorious ones? How does that stack up with useless? How does that stack up with ugly? How does that stack up with dumb? It's truth. This is how we battle the enemy. This is by memorizing verses like this. God, you said, wow, I can't believe it, but you said I'm a saint. I live in the land, the best of the land, and I'm glorious to you. Not only that, he's just plumb happy. He's delighted with you. He is beyond happy. He's singing that Zephaniah dance as he sings around you, loving you. Loving you, loving you, loving you. Do you remember a few weeks ago we talked about, some of you were here, some of you obviously weren't, we talked about John and Peter and the difference in their love and how they related to the Lord. Do some of you remember that? Do you remember that John, the guy that wrote the book of John, referred to himself? Nobody else described him this way. He described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I about crack up when I think about that. It's like Rhonda and I were going, and we went to Kohl's a couple times, did some shopping. We had a good time. It's like in recalling that event, I would have said, well, Rhonda and the one that Jesus loved went to Kohl's. How comfortable would we, really, how comfortable would we feel saying that? Rhonda and the one that loved Jesus. Did Rhonda not love Jesus? No, I don't think so. But John, the point of it is, as we deal with lies, we need to be so secure in the truth that Yeshua loves us, that we can say, I'm the one that Jesus loves. Yeah, I'm the one that Jesus loves. There are places in your heart that can only be healed by divine love and romance. This is what every heart cries for. That's what the divine kiss, that's what that's all about. Kisses from God impart the deepest things that could ever be given to the human spirit. Think of how God kissed Adam. There he was, that hunk of dirt. But it's when God kissed him that destiny meant dust. And Adam became that living soul. We become enlivened every time we receive that kiss from the Lord. God, smother us with kisses tonight. Is it a literal kiss she's asking for? No. Don't ever get the human, I don't know, don't let me describe it even. Don't let that get in your way when you think and when you ponder the Song of Solomon. She's asking him to awaken her heart. Remember we said it's a heart book. She's asking him to awaken her heart with his power and with his love. His heavenly kiss is not joining mouth to mouth, but it's joining God with man. The maiden requests the kisses of the king's mouth. The king! Wow, she's asking the king to kiss her, to smother her with kisses. The word of God is what proceeds from his mouth. Mouth in the Song of Solomon refers to communication. Remember how I said it can be really hard for us to interpret because there's so much symbolism? Well, in the Song of Solomon, it does in many other places too, like in Deuteronomy 8:3. The word of God is what proceeds from God's mouth. She's asking him to awaken her, to quicken her by the word. And in Deuteronomy it says, but man lives by every, what? Word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. There we have it. She's asking for the divine kiss. She's asking for the word to proceed from his mouth. The mouth of God, we already said it from that verse, speaks of God's word. The divine kiss is but a metaphor of intimacy with Yeshua. We receive, you say, well, how do I receive that word? How do I receive that kiss? We receive the kiss of God's word when the Holy Spirit anoints the word, hits our heart, and our heart expands, and our ability to feel and receive, it increases. The kiss is like God putting his hand on our hearts with fire, expanding our capacity to receive his love and give him our love in return. For a king to kiss another with his mouth is the greatest honor. God had in times past spoken by the mouth of his people, of his prophets. In Hebrews 1:1-2, it says that. He spoke in that way. Who had declared the church's betrothal? The bride herself now longs to contact with the mouth, with the communication of the bridegroom. Being kissed on the mouth, what does that demand? Well, it demands that you are face to face with your beloved. How, I don't know, I kind of have trouble with this. Maybe you can help me. We often say, or hear it said, that, boy, I'm mad at God. God had a drunk driver kill my child. God did this. God, I'm just mad at God about that. No, I don't think God's shook that we get upset with him. I think he understands that. We're humans. Who wouldn't be angry at a child having been killed in such a vicious way? But do we stay mad forever? I think that's where the hitch comes in. I don't know about you, but I'm not too likely to position myself for a kiss if I'm mad as all get out at the person that I'm being kissed. Those two just don't seem to go together for me. We can't turn our back to God and expect to receive kisses from him. In other words, I think part of what that verse says, we've got to be in a position to receive the communication that he wants to give us, the kisses he wants to give us from his mouth. 2 Corinthians 3:18 it's a verse we quote quite a bit. It says, with open face we behold him. With open face. That kind of describes the same thing that I was talking about. Being kissed by the kisses of his mouth could be likened to the first time the word was open to you. God was teaching you and you knew it. What is the one thing that you can't live without? The one thing for the maiden, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. She couldn't live without that. What's on the other side of that lie you're hanging on to? Is that the thing you can't live without? I could have mentioned many other lies. I just kept it simple. That was a profound one and such a life-changing event in my life. And I start thinking about all of us. How much more we could be released into fulfilling the kingdom, his kingdom, if the lies that we have allowed to so easily beset us were eliminated, those suckers need to go. What is it? On your one of your pieces of paper, let's use the yellow one. On the yellow piece of paper, what's the matter? Oh, that's okay. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know you didn't have both. Yeah, you thought I was colorblind. You thought I was calling purple yellow. Let's just have a quiet moment with the Lord, because I was clueless about the power of that lie in my life. We may be clueless about some of the things that are just really holding us back. Let's just be quiet before him. God, are there any lies that I have subscribed to that are keeping me from rising up out of that place of the doldrums, out of that place of, wow, I see so much self-pity, so much victim mentality. God, what is it? You know it's in our hearts to keep them clean before you. That's what's in our hearts. We also recognize we're weak like Peter was, but boy, our hearts are bent to serve you and to love you. So just don't try to analyze it too much. Just write down the first thing that you think he tells you. You could have more than one if you want to. Some of us would need a page to fill all the ways that we have allowed lies to influence us. God, just speak to us. Just speak to us. Now on the other sheet, what are the tools that you have in your toolbox by which to do battle with the enemy in stomping out those lies? Do you really have any reason to hang on to the lies when you have so many tools? Let me just, I don't want to list a whole bunch of them because I want you to think about it. But I used the Word of God. I used the authority that I had as a believer. I didn't know all about the many, many extra tools we have here. The God encounters, the fill in the blanks. Again, I don't want to name them. But anything you can think of that God has provided you, he's given you everything you need for life and godliness. So, what are the tools? That goes on the, is it purple? Yeah. And when you're finished, you can just come start filling my Holy Ghost tool chest. Anytime you're done, you can just come and put it in the tool chest. Mm-hmm. There's something about writing it down that seals it and causes us to think more seriously. We're gonna pray together after a while. There's a few more things I feel God wants me to release. The bride's journey, as we described it today, starts with a longing for his kisses. That's the first thing she asks for. But it ends up, her journey ends up encountering Yeshua in his most holy, jealous love. I want that kind of journey, don't you? Her request, we didn't really bring this out, but I think it's so interesting. She says, she doesn't say, "Bridegroom King, would you kiss me with the kisses?" She directs it to the Father when she says, "Let him, Abba Daddy, let him, Yeshua, kiss me with his kisses." God continues to test his people by allowing them to ask him anything. I said it before and I'll say it again. What is the one thing you can't live without? And how does that give you motivation to get rid of the lies that might be standing in the way of the fulfillment of that? The greatest prayer of faith is to receive grace to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our minds, and that's a lifelong pursuit. I felt after I journaled the other day, I told you that this is going to be very personal and very practical. That's my prayer. And I journaled the other day that I often process as I ponder something, and then he speaks to me at a completely different level. So here was my journal entry. God, thank you for filling in some of the blanks left from sharing last night. That was last Friday night. I journaled the next day, obviously. Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing to me more to be emphasized. You reminded me of what I preach so boldly to others. Honey, you're believing a pack of lies. Switch to believing and confessing the truth. That's what set you free. In other words, he was telling me it's time for me to practice what I preach. When I confessed the truth and took authority over the enemy, I positioned myself to experientially know him. That's where the Hosea wilderness kicked in, as you spoke comfortably to me about my newly discovered bridegroom king. And what you spoke to me became the new message that Bobby Connor prophesied. So parallel to the Shulamite, I was asking you to draw me. We haven't gotten that far yet. That's a couple verses down. Through that drawing and knowing, you gave me opportunities to partner with you so that fruitfulness resulted. And God, all that without sweat, no hyperactivity, no performance standards. What freedom. God, as I relive that wonderful, terrible season, I'm convicted that I have allowed this past season of great physical and emotional upheaval in my life to cause some distraction and lack of fervency. I lay that before you as a body. And that is very, very true. So tonight, I'm asking your forgiveness as I apply the blood And I pray, God, that your son would kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Turn my being to gaze at him face to face without any barriers between us. My imperfect heart deserves an unwavering yes to you. No, that isn't right. That doesn't sound right. Oh, declares, I said deserves. My imperfect heart declares an unwavering yes to you and the plans and purposes that you have for me. Smother me with your kisses, bridegroom, king. Good night, your recharged bride who is making herself ready. And then another day this week, I jotted this down. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Thank you, God, for answering my passionate request through my dear friends. Today, you kissed me with the word directly from you through a trusted friend. The kiss or the spoken word brought conviction and revelation. God, you mean business. When I pray for your smothering of kisses, I am wise to be forewarned that kisses come in many forms. I love your kisses of loving affirmations, and I also welcome the kisses of truth that lead to repentance. So I believe God wants to take what we've been pondering and allow it to lodge deeply in your hearts. And I believe, as I've been speaking, I think there are a few of you that want to give testimony as it regards this. Testimony about how you have dealt with lies in your life. You've allowed lies to define you. You've allowed lies to defeat you. You've allowed blah, 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 on and on. But what happened? Or can we stand with you? I believe some of you want ministry tonight. It's wonderful to do battle with the enemy by ourselves, but there's nothing like the power of the body and standing with us. And helping us through. And I love the openness with which the farm does that. Before we do, so I'm just kind of think about those two. Before we do that, would some of you just pop up and come up here and read what others are saying are the lies they're dealing with? And others of you kind of, what's your tool chest? Maybe we need to bolster up our tool chest. So just come on up and just pull out any of these. Let's pull out the lies. Were the lies the gold ones, I think? Yes. So pull out. While Sarah's here, some of the rest of you come up.
I don't count.
Keep going. You don't just need to read one. The gold ones.
The lies from Pinocchio.
Fear,
wow,
don't know what to do, how to do it, and what others think. Fear of.
Just pick anyone.
Yeah, they're all bad.
It is by grace. Oh, that's not it. Perfectionism. Old, slow, weak, useless, a man in a woman's ministry.
Not wanted.
You aren't smart enough.
Selfish.
You are too scattered. You are too old.
Wow.
Those are lies.
Not as good as someone else. Mm-hmm. Trusting I hear him clearly. I miss God's best for my life.
Wow.
I'll never be good enough.
Regret once how flawed my body is. I won't be able to receive God love from my future husband.
Mm-hmm. I'm not equipped to do what I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm. Can't read that. I need to be in control. Mm. No good.
There's a couple. That's
I am less than from birth to now.
Yeshua doesn't really care about me.
Mm-hmm. Anybody relate to those besides the writer? Okay, what's our toolbox? What do we have? What's the ammunition?
God's word. G-E.
Cool. What was that?
It said God's word. G-E.
Tool to stomp out the lies, binding and loosing his blood and authority. Courtroom and get his verdict, reviewing his word and the power of his love, getting in his presence and receive his freedom. By his spirit, prayer, body of Christ, seek wise counsel and be mutually interdependent with agree with adversary and receive Yahweh's truth.
His word, Yeshua.
What excuse do we have with those kinds of tools in our tool chest? Yeah, go ahead.
His word, Yeshua, who he says I am in him, I am his, he made me.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Woo! God is good. Die to myself?
Yeah, that's a big one. Yes.
Trust in him alone?
Only the Lord is perfect, my grace is sufficient.
Tools, the word, others, truth, words, prayer, GEs, and
repentance.
Repentance.
That's a big one.
That's a good one.
Seeking God's forgiveness, singing the blood of Yeshua, dancing, amen. Praise and thanksgiving, worship, word, love, joy, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Nice.
Look at all we got.
What are the tools in your toolbox to stomp out those lies? Tools, God encounters, many wonderful friends here on the farm.
Nice. Word of God, truth, Holy Spirit, words from the Lord, fellow believers.
Nice. Woo!
Truth, I am chosen.
Amen.
Good. The blood of Yeshua, apply it. Make a choice to believe God's truth. Eat from the tree of life.
Amen. That one's mine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
That's funny.
Words others speak over me, the words of God.
Amen. I'm a child of God. He chose me, wanted me first, before the foundations of this world.
Binding and loosing ABCs, blood of Yeshua, Yeshua's name. That's a good one. Word of God, praise, thankfulness, tools, Amazon. Armor.
Amazon.
Wrong
tree. Falling on my face, God encounters community.
Amazon. Time in the Word, God encounters. It's okay.
Good. Worship, face God, face the fear, stop running.
Ooh.
Quiet before the Lord.
GE, speaking the truth, word of word, prayer, speaking the truth.
Amen.
Yeah.
Word of God, walking in authority, binding and loosing, armor of God.
Nice. God encounter, prayer, forgiveness, truth.
Amen. That's good.
Prayer, third step prayer.
That's what it says, right?
I know.
Friends, that's good, friends.
listening to the Lord, his word, agreeing with him, renouncing the lies in agreement, declaring truth, praising God, thankfulness.
Amen.
Yeah. Ooh, I love a couple of those. They're different than any we've
heard. Singing, laughter, hugs.
Laughter and hugs.
Good, good. Hugs.
Oh, you're laughing.
You're like Amazon.
Okay. The word of God, spending time in his presence, binding and loosing, praise, worship, and thanksgiving.
Confessing for the sins of believing the lies, authority over the demonic that has been empowered, deliverance, intimate encounters with the Father.
Amen. Good.
Wow, good. These are good, good ones.
Very good.
We didn't do this one, do we?
I can't read it.
Speak life to him, spend time with him, be still and know he is God. Prayer, worship, God encounters, be strong, courageous. Know he is God, ask others for prayer, speak verses of truth.
Amen.
Ah, oh, wow, thank you. You came up with a bunch. I believe there are some of you who have maybe a testimony, an observation, something you want to share. Maybe you want prayer support. You want others to pray with you. This is the time for that. So anybody?